Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing? How's everybody feeling? As always, off the top, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody, help me grow this podcast and just share it with somebody. I don't know about this episode because it's going to get very quote unquote problematic, as people like to say. But I'm going to start off with my milestone. And for those who don't know, a milestone is something that I talk about every week. And it pertains to my son, Miles. He's 4. And so, as you probably know, for those who listen, Miles has some challenges in school, you know, with paying attention and following the rules. But he's 4. It happens. And he's always like, well, so-and-so did this. So-and-so's not making, you know, good choices, is he, Daddy? And I'm like, well, you know, don't worry about them. You just, Miles, worry about you. Miles should worry about Miles. So he hears me say that a lot. Well, just worry about you. So the other day, I'm kind of thinking out loud. I'm like, I wonder what so-and-so was doing, or why did so-and-so do that? And he goes, Daddy, don't worry about them. You just worry about you, Daddy. And I'm like, you know what, Miles? You're right. I'm just going to worry about me. So already at 4, my advice is coming back to bite me in the ass. And I can't do anything but just laugh to myself, but tell him that he's right. So, yeah. You know what? Also, on a more serious note, I think I mentioned before that we had Miles tested. You know, he had the issues in school and, you know, not really playing with other kids and all that kind of stuff. And we had him tested at UVA, had this long 8-hour test, and it's been about 3 weeks or so. And we finally got the results, and he tested very, very high in his spatial cognitive abilities and just overall tested above average, but his spatial testing was off the charts, and it was superior, 99 percentile, and I'm excited about that. He doesn't have any learning disabilities and stuff. He has a little bit of a problem remembering long sequences of things, but there's stuff that we can do to help him, you know, get better at that. So we're gonna work on that. But I'm very excited about the spatial recognition stuff. I've noticed that ever since he was a very, very small child. He still is a small child, but even when he was little, he could look at like lines or cracks in a sidewalk or just, you know, a pattern, and he could see like, oh, look, Dad, there's a T. I see a V. I see an A. And, you know, and you would look at it and go, oh yeah, you can if you look at it from this angle. Yeah, there is an A there. There is a T there. There is that there. So even when he was, you know, 1.5, 2 years old, he could recognize different shapes and things and letters. You know, he had the ability just to look at things from totally different perspectives. I mean, sometimes he would even throw us off for a second and go, oh, yeah, that does look like a W or something like that. So now I just got to find some type of program to put him into, you know, where he can really foster that and grow it, man. I want my son to be like the next Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, tonight's the NFL draft. That would be cool. You know, I think that's a lot of dad's dream. Your son's a pro athlete. You know, this is a cool thing. Not a lot of people get to do that. But me personally, I would take the astrophysicist over the pro athlete. You know, most athletes only stay in the league 3 to 5 years and they're broke a couple years after that. You know, and they're barely even 30 years old. So I'd take the lifetime astrophysicist over that any day. But, yeah. So that's been going on, and I feel a lot better, man. That had been something that was weighing on me for, I mean, months and months. So, you know, we feel great that we finally got some test results, and he's fine. It's scary as a first-time parent. You just don't know. You hear all these different things, you know, from other parents. You know, you don't take them to get tested. They want them to have autism. They want them to have that. They want to give them medication. So you get scared. You really do. But yeah, she said he was fine, and the fact that he doesn't want to pretend and play, he doesn't want to play fireman or what have you. That's absolutely fine. That's just not what he's into. He would rather construct things. That's more up his alley, which makes sense. We all have our likes and dislikes and the things that we prefer to do over other things. So, hey, he's just exhibiting these things at four. And I just want to help nurture it and foster it. But all right, I'm sorry. Hopefully I didn't bore anybody with that. But that's just something that's been weighing on my mind. And again, I use this podcast to just kind of release these kind of things. But, I had this thought. And this is where it's going to get problematic. This is going to be a pretty big shift in what I was talking about. So it's going to be a hard turn. I'm pretty sure most of you guys have seen all this stuff going on with Carmelo Anthony and his wife Lala. They're split up, and Carmelo has a side piece pregnant. And I got to thinking. I got to thinking, folks, and ladies. And I'll work the guys in this too, but guys are different, but I'll get to that. But ladies, here's an issue, and hopefully this doesn't sound sexist or misogynistic. And for lack of a better term, I like it, honestly, just because it's an alliteration, is you have to learn you got a pussy price match. What is that? Look, even Walmart price matches, you can take another ad and go, hey, look, man, Big Lots is selling this toaster for $12. Yeah, I got it for $16. Now, I mean, I could go over there and get it for $12, but I like it here. So what can you do for me, Walmart? And Walmart's not like, hey, you know what? We're a huge brand. Like 1 in 5 people work in this country. We make X billion dollars a quarter. Get the hell out of my store. We're not doing it. You know what Walmart does? They go, you know what? You can have that toaster for $12. There you go. We want your business. Same thing, ladies. You have to realize what other women are willing to do to your man sexually. Okay? You got to be able to meet that price. Guys do. That's why guys do the things that we do. That's why women can't be sexually weird, because there's always a guy that's willing to do whatever a woman's into. A woman can get up and say, hey, I'm into like having my nipples clamped down with a fucking jumper cables, and then I like to hook it up to a car battery from a dump truck, and then I want you to rev the engine and squirt the windshield wiper fluid. And there's a dude that's like, you know what's funny? I'm into that, and I own a dump truck. It's right outside. It's right outside. Let's go. But no, see, a lot of women, you get in relationships, you know, even when you're married, you've been together for a long time. You figure, I've been around for 5, 10, 15 years. I have a loyal brand. I don't have to do that type of stuff, okay? I don't need to quote unquote stoop to that level. I'm beyond that. I don't have to. It's just like, if you want to keep them, you kind of do. And I know that probably sounds bad, but I'm just being honest. You kind of have to. You just can't rely on your brand to get you through changes in the market. There's been some great companies that are no longer with us at the same level they were even 20 years ago. Some are even gone. Look at Blockbuster. They were killing for the longest time. They abused us, and we allowed it because that was the only thing we had. You remember all them high-ass return fees we would pay? And then along comes Netflix. Along comes little old Netflix. The little video whore. You can do whatever you want to me. just give me $8 a month and you can keep me as long as you want. You never even have to return me. Once you keep it for so long, you own it. Matter of fact, you don't even have to come down to the store to get it. We will mail it to you. And like I said, you can have it as long as you want. You can watch it as many times as you want. It doesn't matter. You bring it back. We just keep sending you more. Not Blockbuster. You had to go get it. You had to bring it back at a certain time. And if you didn't, oh, you paid out the ass. And they thought that was gonna. They thought it was gonna. They could last. They tried to get the little red box going. They tried it. It was too late. Now where the fuck is Blockbuster? Huh? It's gone. Where's Lala? She's gone. She's gone. Now I'm messing around there. I don't know what happened with them. He could just be a real piece of shit dude, but. But I'm saying you just got. You have to know what women are willing to do, man. Kodak, one of the best companies this country's ever saw with the camera. They did so many things, but they didn't want to go digital. And where are they now? They're almost obsolete. They still have a little small niche market, but it's not like it used to be. They had a little disposable cameras for a while, but nobody uses that shit anymore. They didn't want to evolve. Sears. They didn't want to go online. They didn't want to get rid of that dumb catalog. Nobody's jerking off to the underwear section of the Sears catalog anymore. It's not happening. They didn't want to evolve. That's all I'm saying. We got to evolve. Men are willing to do it. Ladies, you got to be willing to do it. I know nowadays it sounds misogynistic, but hey, it is what it is, okay? You get married, it's a partnership. It's like owning a restaurant together. And you both agree to only eat at that restaurant. So when I say I'm hungry and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't be like, the kitchen closed. It's not. I need some mozzarella. We need a late night menu. We need something. Okay, ladies, something. You got to give up something to feed that appetite. You have to remember, there are fast food places open 24/7 that serve the entire menu. I've never seen an empty Waffle House. It's terrible food. Waffle House is terrible, but there's people always there. There's someone always at a Waffle House. It's never empty. I've been to one when I pull up and it's empty, but guess what? I'm going in, so it's no longer empty. Somebody always at Waffle House. When you go, there's nobody there. You're there. Men, we're willing to do it. We'll do anything. But I've been told, like, hey, yeah. Nah, that's bad. Your man's want sex. That's evil. Nah, that's what we want. Y'all want purses and shit. We're just different. Now, if that makes me misogynistic or whatever, then I guess it does. But I can't say I digress. I saw this too. This photo going around on Facebook, Instagram. It's like three or four black hands, maybe five black hands, and left hands. And these women are all married. They go, team married. Ladies, he don't want no hood chick. Come sit with us. We'll teach you. Why do black chicks have to feel like being married is an accomplishment? And then you got to shit on other women because they're not married. Just because you're married doesn't mean your marriage is great. It doesn't mean that he's happy. It doesn't mean that you're happy. It doesn't. And I've seen people be mean to my wife because me and her out to dinner and it's three bitter chicks eating dinner by themselves and they're looking at her like, yeah, look at this bitch. She thinks she... My wife don't care nothing about that. It's just like, why you got to shame these women for not being married? Is your husband happy? That's the question. Are you pussy price matching? Hmm? Are you? Wearing a ring is, that's the easy part. But is the man happy? Stop shaming single women. Maybe she want to be single. You don't know what her deal is. So just quit it. Shit makes me mad. Oh God, what else? Oh, you know what? Last night I worked at DC Improv, man, and I love working that club, man. It's just Patrice O'Neill, he recorded Mr. P there, and that's my favorite comedy album of all time. He's my favorite comic of all time. He's one of the best of all time. In my eyes, arguably the best. If not the best, one of the best. I mean, you could name all the typical Rocks and Carlins and Seinfelds. And I think about Patrice, it's like that dude could hold his own on the show with all those people, man. So to me, he's one of the best. Bill Hicks used to be my favorite comic of all time. And then the more I listened to Patrice, the more I was just like, that's my dude, man. Just because his subject matter, the way he handled things, what he talked about, man, I can't ever imagine being that good, man. He's just, it's unreal. Unreal. Just the way he would take the fucking worst subjects. He would say the worst things and have people would just hate him. And then he would explain himself and he would just have everybody at least laughing and go, okay, I see what you're saying, man. That's funny. I like your train of thought there. I like your logic. It's. I might not agree with it, but damn it, it's airtight. I see what you're saying, and it's funny. I appreciate the man's honesty, and the fact that he just really didn't give a shit, man. I really respect that. And I just hope to one day be that good. But I say now I digress. I say that to say I did the mic at the DC Improv, and I always am honored to grace that stage, man, because Mr. P was recorded there. He was on that stage, man, and just you think about Tolu and oh God. So I just always felt very honored to step on that stage. And I got to close that show out. I don't know if Antoine put me on last for any in particular reason, but for me that was a complete it was an honor for me to go last at that show. And I was honored to host the mic there a few months ago, and I'm even more honored to get to close the show. It went well. Did a lot of crowd work. I went back and listened to it, man. I cussed a lot, and that kind of takes away from the performance for me. But it was still a lot of fun, and I just love working that club. That's always been a huge goal of mine, to work that club, and for me to actually. Because I remember being in Vegas, like, yeah, if I'm ever in D.C., I can't wait to get to the D.C. Improv. It's probably the coolest place in the world. And it is. And to like, you know, years later, to happen to be living in this area and get to work there, man, it's just been one of the best accomplishments of my career. And I'm pretty sure some people go, man, it's just another club. What does it matter? It's just something about that club, man, where I've always wanted to get in there, and I am, and I'm very thankful. And I'm pretty sure you can tell because you're like, yeah, we get it, Chris. You like that club. What else you got? but it was fun. And what am I doing? Look, people, man, they make me sick sometimes, man, because this weekend I'm doing a show in D.C. It's called Fail University. It's kind of a play on words with Yale. And they give these, the comics go on as like a fake lecture. And this month they're doing women's studies. And I put that on Facebook, and I had another comic who I won't say who it is, but this person was just like, women's studies, that's, you know, how'd you get on that? What makes you an expert on that? Could I get on that show if it was about African-American studies? And I go, actually, you could. It's a comedy show. Isn't this like women's study can't be funny? Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. I'm like, that's what I hate the comics that act like their issue can't be made fun of. And then this person is coming at me as if it's just a bunch of guys just making fun of women's studies just to be assholes. And I go, you know what? It's actually women that run the show, and they asked me to do it. And then when I said that, all of a sudden it was okay. And I'm like, see, it was funny that this show was misogynistic and sexist until I mentioned that women ran it. And then the fact that you assumed that men ran it was ironically sexist. And you're supposed to be a feminist. And you're being sexist against your own kind. Wow. So ironic. But yeah, so I'm excited to do the show. What I'm working on is just a thing. I've tried it as a joke, but I think doing it in a presentation format will really hit home what I'm trying to convey in the bit, if you want to call it that. So I'm excited to try it out, and I'm looking forward to it. So that's where I'll be this weekend at Fail University at Sun Cinema. I cannot remember what part of town it's in D.C., but check it out on Facebook. If you're friends on Facebook and you live in an area you want to go, I think the tickets on sale are like $10. And I will be at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland on Sunday. That show is at 7 o'clock. I can't wait. That's Tak Moffitt and Ryan Nestor that put that show on. It's a lot of fun. I did it a long time ago. I featured there, and they were like, hey, man, we got to get you back to headline. That was a long time ago, and just our schedules just never matched up. And they had it booked so far out, I was finally able to get on this week. So I'm excited to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, yep, so there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, LAN. Peace out. See you next week.